This hour is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
You know, ultimately, like, you know, there was no move that was a single player would have brought that back, and I wouldn't have made the impact that we would have needed to do it. So, yeah, I mean, it's clearly, you know, whether it's in this offseason or in the past, I think, you know, certainly we've moved top prospects, but, you know, that's the calculus that we have to make is, you know, is ultimately what is the impact this is making and what is the, you know, how many wins are we losing going forward?
That was Jed Hoyer, as we know. The Cubs, of course, taking on the Blue Jays tonight here in 670 The Score. You can hear that right here. Of course, Pat Ron and Zach Zaidman have that call. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. And we have to examine a quote that has made the rounds from Carter Hawkins. It has incensed some people, to say the least. And I feel like it's only picked up steam since we've seen what's happened with the Cubs' recent performances.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I didn't mean for that to be a dramatic pause.
No, I didn't know if you had found what you were looking for. Sorry.
No. He says, and this was to ESPN, it's hard when you see other teams you're competing with get really good players, but those aren't decisions you're making in the moment. They're decisions you're making over the course of the week and the month. This isn't referring to the trade deadline. It takes some discipline, especially in a moment when you see things moving that way, but we were able to stick to our approach and felt really good about the additions that we were able to make. Teams are trying to find that guy that can lock down the eighth or ninth inning, but that also costs a lot. That costs a lot of future wins. We have a responsibility to the 2025 Cubs, but also to the 2032 Cubs. That's not always popular in the moment, but it's decisions we have to make. Then why did you trade for Kyle Tucker?
They traded for Kyle Tucker because they knew they weren't good enough to make the playoffs based on what they had last year.
But is that a move that helps the 2032 Cubs, or is that a move that helps the 2025 Cubs?
It is definitely a move that helps specifically the 2025 Cubs, especially knowing that he is going to be a free agent from the moment you trade for him, and that there's nothing you can do because you've never signed a player to a contract worth $200 million, let alone, I don't know, $400 or $500 million.
But I say that saying, this is contradictory to the lane you chose in this offseason. You put yourself in this position. You decided this was your go for a year. You have this time that's guaranteed. What are we down to? 2.5 months of the regular season? You have 2.5 months of the regular season there guaranteed with Kyle Tucker.
Layla.
After that, it's anybody else's guess as to what happens.
It's only a month and a half.
A month and a half.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, like, you don't even have 2.5 months.
I don't know what day it is anymore.
You got 45 games.
Yeah, there it is, right? So you have that much time left with Kyle Tucker. And at the time you said this, you probably had 2 months. But the point is, that's it. So you decided that this was your go-for-it year. At what point did you decide it wasn't your go-for-it year? You have a team that is a buzzsaw breathing down your neck 90 miles an hour up the road, who can do nothing wrong right now. Andrew Vaughn is somehow making the biggest difference in this division. You could argue that the Reds made more selective trade deadline choices than you did when they got guys like Zach Littell, Ke'Bryan Hayes. They acquired specific needs who are still productive for their team right now. At what point did you decide the 2032 Cubs needed to factor into your 2025 decision? Additionally, let's go back to 2021 when you traded Yu Darvish for, at the time, what was pretty much four teenagers. One of them was Owen Casey. Which team were you thinking about then? Would it theoretically be the one that's online right now? Where did those wins go? That's my point in this. You had to pick a lane. You picked one. And now is this you saying that this isn't what you wanted to do? Are you going to be here in 2032?
I think what happened was the Cubs overestimated how good they were based on them finally living up to this. We can win in the margins as if we are a mid-market team by having players exceed expectations. It really goes back to that quote. by the president of baseball operations, Jed Hoyer, when he talked about we needed guys to exceed the expectations of what they had done previously. And what you're seeing right now in real time, Layla, is guys who have regressed back to the mean of their careers. And when I talk about guys like that, I'm talking about the Carson Kellys of the world. I'm talking about the, not Kyle Tucker, that's a different story, but certainly the Dansby Swansons of the world, certainly the Seiya Suzukis of the world, who all of a sudden has a 2.1 war on the season. You're talking about guys like Ian Happ, who's had a disappointing season. And really, you can just look at what's happened in the last 30 days that sums up where the Cubs are offensively. And that's why when you expect what you expect of them, and yes, you could say right now that Kyle Tucker is slumping. He's not playing up to what he's done his entire career. And he may regress back to his mean, which is being a 5-6 war player. But even if he does that, you're depending on a lot of other guys, Seiya Suzuki, as I mentioned, Swanson, Ian Happ to a degree. You're depending on a lot of other guys, Michael Bush, to play their best seasons of baseball they've ever played. And when you look at what they did at the deadline, they were just thinking, we're in the mix and we're happy to be in the mix. You know who this reminds me of? This whole thing. Whether it's what Jed Hoyer said, whether it's what Kelly said just recently. Excuse me, Carter Hawkins just recently. It's giving Jerry DePoto in the 54%.
Jerry DePoto, who traded for Eugenio Suarez and has the AL MVP candidate?
That's what he did now. But a couple of years ago, do you remember when he famously said, hey, we're just trying to win 54% of our games and be in the mix. That's better than going all out to win a World Series. Now, here's what I'll say about Jerry DePoto. He seemingly has learned his lesson from that track of thinking.
I think at some point he knew he had to do something to change the course of his team's outlook. When you had the Astros wrecking shop in that division and then you had the Rangers pick up where the Astros left off. Yeah, that was his thought process at the time. But even they decided this was the year they needed to do some more. They decided that this was the year they were going to go for it. And what did they do? They got Josh Naylor and Eugenio Suarez. Like that was how they backstopped it. And here's the other thing is, yes, we always talk about the expectation to outplay your back of the baseball card, or people are going to have to overperform. It was the manager, Craig Counsell, who said to us when he got hired that players are going to underperform. And typically at the deadline, you're acquiring players to fill in gaps on your team, to pick up for injury, to try to help a slumping lineup. The past 2 years for the Cubs, it was a third base decision they had to make because that was a position that wasn't producing as well offensively as they wanted. And in those moments, I didn't think that they were thinking about that too. I understand that you don't want to bankrupt your farm system. But then I think about the GMs who have the reputation of doing so, like a Dave Dombrowski, for example, and how many World Series and playoff appearances does he have to his name?
Dave,
it's Major League Baseball. This isn't the Minor League Baseball Championship Series.
It's not the collect as many assets as you can, like it's Pokemon, because it's not. It's not.
Gotta catch 'em all.
What you got to do is give yourself a fighting chance when the playoffs start. I think the Cubs are still going to the playoffs. The question is going to be, what are they going to do when they get there?
Please tell me that your goal is still to win the NL Central, because that means that you need to be a 95-win team now.
Yeah, 90 is not going to be enough to win the Central. 90 will get you into the playoffs, though.
But that's the other part of this. It's not like you didn't see the freight train coming. And frankly, sometimes you should make certain decisions, not scared, but understanding what the market is.
Since the All-Star break, this team's 10-11. That's a sub-500 record. Not a 500 record, a sub-500 record. In that time, you've got exactly one player on the roster right now who has an OPS over 800. You can guess who that player is.
Over that time?
Yes.
Then it's Matt Shaw.
Yeah, it's Matt Shaw. He's 1.119 OPS. Everybody else, sub-800. That's not good enough.
And I think part of this is when you make the spendy trade, then you are giving up an expensive price. When you trade for a guy like Kyle Tucker, you're trading a lot of your high-value cards there in your Cam Smith and your Hayden Wesneski and Isak Paredes, who was having an all-star season. It's not cheap, and I understand that part of it. But the concept of you just making one of those wasn't going to get it done.
It's not just that it wasn't going to get it done. It's just that you're depending on everyone else to keep doing what they've been doing that at the time had them at the top of baseball. The Cubs were right there alongside any other team. And to be honest, it's not like the Brewers went out here and made a big move at the trade deadline. They did not. But they were going in the right direction already heading into that deadline.
Because they knew what their assets were, who were going to be healthy, and they had a reasonable timeline and expectation as to when they were going to come online.
Brandon Woodruff. And they've lost guys even since then.
Right.
But they've still been able to get hot, stay hot, and now they've got their second, you know, double-digit win streak.
But you can't just chalk it up to luck, what they're doing. It's been too productive too many times, too consistently. And they talk about their process, and we've heard other reporters discuss how they know how to use their talent. And to see Andrew Vaughn doing what he's doing and just be a completely reinvented player who frankly lived up to his first-round pedigree potential, you've got to understand that they are doing something that you don't see here in this town. And I'm saying that for both sides of town when I'm talking about Andrew Vaughn.
So we have a Cubs front office with Carter Hawkins, the general manager, talking about thinking about the 2032 Cubs and the responsibility to them when trying to make the adjustments in the middle of the 2025 season here on Raheem and Harris. And I'll say this, back to your question, why did they go get Kyle Tucker if they're worried about 2032? Because he's only here for one season. Two reasons. One, they knew they weren't good enough to make the playoffs with what they had last year. Two, they were coming up on a contract year, as in the front office itself, as in Jed Hoyer. This was the last year of his contract. Now he's been extended, so I guess he can start thinking about 2032. Remember the timing of that announcement before the trade deadline that Jed Hoyer had been extended?
Yeah, but for whatever reason, I think it's because he's been here so long and he was part of a known front office group for so long, not just here, but in Boston as well, that I don't consider that as part of this. I don't think that it was just get the extension mentality for him. And he's been asked about it. He talked to Danny Parkins about it, by the way, just in case you had forgotten that. That was something that was brought up. Danny asked him about whether or not his extension had something to do with this. And you could tell in the answer. You always want to win. It's just a matter of what he was allowed to work with, too. I'm not making excuses for him. But when it came to being motivated, I think that was part of it. I want to know at what point the game changed for this team. Was it June? Was it the 13-13 month of June where they decided they had to be a little bit more conservative with how many prospects they were going to give up? Because they told us the entire time before the trade deadline for 6 weeks that this was going to be a seller's market. And it proved to be that way, so much so that Jed Hoyer had said that there were pitchers that they thought were going to be available who weren't. The guy we thought was the most likely to go in Sandy Alcantara did not. But there were still other acquisitions that were out there to be made. That's why I brought up the Reds, for example. And unfortunately for them, yeah, Willie Castro has been a savvy pickup. I'm not saying that wasn't. But the problem is, it's what you're adding to already. You know, they've talked so much about diversification of a lineup and diversification of the roster since the quote about the offense being broken. And while I appreciate it all, I'm still trying to figure out why it's a multi-system organ failure when your one slugger goes down.
The one slugger you're speaking of is Kyle Tucker, and you feel like his disappearance has affected everybody in the lineup, and it's all...
Yes!
I know, listen, Kyle Tucker is definitely the fulcrum of this offense. He is the lever with which everything else operates. That's been proven by what's gone wrong since he's gone down in production, since he's posted an OPS since the All-Star break of 690 with a slug of 302. The on base is still there because he's going to walk. He's got a great strike zone awareness, 388 on base. But a 302 slug out of Kyle Tucker since the All-Star break? That's insane.
I mean, but the point is you can go back to the 1st of July. That's when this started.
Right.
He had one home run the entire month of July. He doesn't have one this month, and I believe he doesn't have an extra base hit off the top of my head this month.
I think he has one double.
Okay.
This month.
My bad. There's one double.
No, but so the question becomes, will he be able to correct it? I'm not trying to make a medical diagnosis on Kyle Tucker, but injury or not, something is simply not right right now.
Not for this long. Yeah. But ideally, on a team that has, as we mentioned, an offensively diverse lineup, other players pick him up. Is that easier said than done? Yes. Do other players like, say, a Suzuki perhaps get pitched to differently because of the threat, the real threat of Kyle Tucker getting on base? Yes. How much is PCA affected by this? Yeah, there's that part of it too. But I understand they're going to tell us things that sometimes we don't want to hear. But I need it to make sense. And right now, all I am seeing are the results of that quote play out in a way that is not just losing you the division, it's putting you in jeopardy of whether or not you're going to get a wild card. No, and if that's the case, if we're talking about a wild card and it's a one and done, was trading for Tucker a success at all?
Yeah, I don't think you can say Kyle Tucker acquisition was a success if they just simply get in as the one of the last two wild cards and then get just eliminated without getting to the division series.
Was make the wild card the goal at the beginning of the season?
No. No. Making a run in the playoffs was the goal at the beginning of the season. Being a World Series contender was the goal at the beginning of the season. And they're still a World Series contender by standard operating procedure as far as you got to get in it to win it. They're going to be in it. It's just, can they turn this offensive around between now and the end of September? That's the question.
And here's the thing, too, is people always say, oh, look at how many games they are above 500. Yes, you don't get trophies for that.
There's no President's Trophy in baseball like there is in hockey?
There's no above 500 trophy either. You know, that is not the goal. The goal and the comparison becomes what you're doing against the teams who did make moves. And maybe say it's not even the Brewers. Trying to figure out if you're now trying to question where you are in a wild card scenario, what you did versus the Padres, for example. What you did versus the Reds, who you've respected all season long.
Respect is still there because they ain't gone away yet.
But that's it. You know, there are teams where you say sometimes, I don't know what they're doing because they're buyers suddenly. But then there are teams who perhaps didn't buy enough.
We'll see what happens because right now it's not a pretty picture being painted by the Cubs.
Here's my issue. We've seen what is happening. This segment was brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. We have more coming up here on Rahimi and Harris on The Score. We shift gears and get back to football because it's a popular story every single season. The Athletic quarterback tears story has been released, so we will talk about it next on The Score.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Does having a quarterback, because there are some other teams that don't necessarily have their franchise guy, how heavy did that weigh specific to this opportunity for you?
Having a quarterback helps.
Oh, I sense the sarcasm there, Ben Johnson. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. And the Athletic quarterback tiers ranking, which has become something that I feel like is a hot button topic every year since it has come out. Mike Sando puts that together. He's going to appear on The Score later this week, by the way, so you'll want to be listening for that. It was released yesterday, late yesterday. And the first question you're asking yourself is, in what tier is Caleb Williams? So let's go over the criteria for each tier. You know, you always want to begin your sports day with criteria talk. Tier one, a tier one quarterback can carry his team each week. The team wins because of him. He expertly handles pure passing situations. He has no real holes in his game. AKA tier one is our dream QB. Tier two, a tier two quarterback can carry his team sometimes, but not as consistently. He can handle pure passing situations in doses and or possess other dimensions that are special enough to elevate him above tier three. He has a hole or two in his game. This is a real knock on tier three is how I see this.
Yeah, well, listen, to your definition for tier three is going to, yeah, go ahead.
But it's like, you just basically don't want to be in tier three.
That is kind of where we are.
Tier three. A tier three quarterback is a legitimate starter, but needs a heavier running game and or defensive component to win. A lower volume drop back passing offense suits him best. I'm laughing because I already see the names in tier three. And that's the biggest tier. So then you go to tier four. What is that?
Tier four is where you don't want to be.
Tier four. A tier four quarterback could be an unproven player, aka not enough information for voters to classify, or a veteran who would ideally not start all 17 games.
That's why I was laughing. That's why I was laughing.
And I read it last night, and I laughed last night.
Exactly. And then
I laughed again. And then there's tier five. And that quarterback is best suited as a backup. Now, I always like to remind people that one of the quarterbacks that was in tier five in his own category at the time when the survey came out in 2023 was Geno Smith. And then he got comeback player of the year. So the point is, these things are fluid and mobile, and you don't have to be stuck in a play or a situation or a tier like that for very long. That's the cool part, right? This mm-hmm. isn't set in stone by any means.
So when you open this up yesterday, right, Layla, this came out, and you were like, oh, the tiers are out. Did you have a guess as to where Caleb Williams would be?
No, because I think last season, I guess, yeah, you knew he wasn't going to be in tier one. You thought based on his talent and the flashes, probably if he was in tier two, it was going to be toward the lower end. But then tier three, unfortunately, sounds like where he might land.
And where did he land, Layla Rahimi?
In tier three. But here's the concerning part. At number 23. So that's behind Drake May and Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold is ranked 20th in this, tied for 20th with Bo Nix. Drake May is ahead of him at 22. And then Bryce Young of the Panthers is one back of him at 24. I guess the good news is he's ahead of Kirk Cousins.
When was the last time you saw Kirk Cousins do anything?
Don't worry about that part. Just think about the money he's made. But that also, that's kind of the point here is it's a muddled and not defined place to be in. So topping that tier is Kyler Murray, who you know has talent. It's just a matter of how it's going to be consistent. Your boy Aaron Rodgers dropped one tier. He wasn't tier two last year. He's now 16th on this list. Then it's Tua Tagovailoa at 17th, Trevor Lawrence 18th, Geno Smith is at 19th, and then the guys I mentioned starting with Bo Nix, Sam Darnold, Drake May, and then Caleb Williams.
And I just want to explain the voting, because there are 50 people voting on this, 50-person panel. And what you did was you voted on all the quarterbacks. What tier do they belong in?
Right.
So the lower the vote, the higher they are. Got it? So, for instance, when we talk about the top of the top with this, and number one on this list is Patrick Mahomes. He scored a perfect one. That means all 50 voters said you are a tier one quarterback. Same for Joe Burrow. Josh Allen, a 1.1. He got a 1.1 because 47 people voted him in tier one, and three people said he was tier two. I just to give people a feel, a sense of it.
Good. And also to note the panel of 50 voters, it's not like this is just Mike Sando. And that panel has six general managers, six assistant general managers, six former GMs, five other executives, eight head coaches, and 19 other coaches, including 15 coordinators. So that's how they put this all together. So in tier one, yeah, it's Mahomes, Burrow, Josh Allen, and then Lamar Jackson, who wasn't in it last year, and I messed with Mike Sando about that because I thought that he absolutely can win a game because he's him.
That's how you get to be MVP, right?
He's back in that tier. And then Matt Stafford rounds out the top five. That's it. Those are the top five who were in that category. Do we want to get into what was said about Caleb Williams?
Oh, I think we should, because of what you just said as far as what type of people made up that 50-person panel that was doing the voting.
Right. Typically, it sounds, you know, it's very front office heavy. It's very GM heavy. Caleb Williams enters his second season facing questions about his ability to process and play quickly after taking 68 sacks, the third most in NFL history. We know that stat. Quote, I think that will come in time, a GM said. Maybe it is a bit like Josh Allen early in his career, where he has so much good other stuff that you will live with some negative plays and he gets more snaps under his belt. That part will come. This is pretty much how I feel about him.
Well, the reason I feel kind of this way about him is because he's played one season, he was in a bad situation, and we know the potential that he had coming out of the draft.
Yeah, like I talk about this all the time. The function of the offense leading to players you know not performing well in the offense, like Cole Kmet, DJ Moore. Do I think that's on Caleb Williams? No. Maybe about 15%, maybe.
Listen, the second quote in the description on Caleb Williams is all telling and all hilarious. This is a quote.
All hilarious.
Well, listen, this is a quote from a defensive coordinator in the NFL. He's got the talent to go up, but in terms of processing ability and getting the ball out of his hands, it was the worst we played against. So this is a guy who saw him firsthand.
It was the worst?
Listen, quote, he just holds the ball forever. I'm thinking the ball should go right there. Throw it, throw it. And he did not throw it. That's the quote.
Yeah, that is all-time hilarious.
But it's very telling.
The defensive coordinator is telling him where to throw the ball. The defensive coordinator is us.
I'm trying to think of what team that was, and then I'm like, oh, that could be every team.
You have to go through the game log and see maybe where he took the most sacks.
I'm going to say the Vikings. I think he was very bad against the Vikings.
The Vikings discombobulated everything, though. I don't know that you could get to the point where you were saying, oh, the ball should go there.
Yeah, that's how the Vikings end up with, what, 14 wins?
Now, the Seahawks game that I talk about, well, that was also a weather-related game.
Okay, so a head coach also said about Caleb Williams, quote, he is definitely a one talent. I just think it's going to take him longer than Jaden Daniels. He is not playing fast right now. There is something there. His processing to me was alarming watching the tape. Huh.
Yeah, when processing is the point of concern, that's not good. And just for your awareness, tier two, Jaden Daniels headlines that at sixth overall.
That's what's crazy, is that Jaden Daniels, taking one pick behind him, headlines it. And the fact that 17 of the 50 voters had him as a tier one quarterback, and 31 had him at tier two, and only one in each of the tier three, tier four.
After his rookie season. Like that's what takes you back. Like the quotes on Jaden Daniels, for example, what I respect the most is it never seems too big for him, a defensive coordinator said. He would stand in the pocket and deliver the ball. Once we saw him running around, it was, okay, he's going to be a problem. And he also, I think, showed his deep ball talent really, really early. You know, that was something that really flashed to me. That's me quoting me. But to consider that that is the ability that he has, or at least the respect in the league already commanded.
The scary part is this. A defensive coordinator saying this of Daniels. This dude has got arm, legs, and processing. He just took his team to the championship game with a non-championship caliber roster. And see, that speaks to the tier one of this and why 17 people voted for him as a guy who could carry a team, because they view largely the Commanders as a non-championship contending type team until you put that quarterback in there, and then he's carrying them to places no one thought they would go.
The biggest game changer. Do I think that Caleb Williams, even though outright, is better than Drake May? Like, why did Caleb Williams get ranked 23rd and Drake May is 22nd? Like, that's a nitpicky thing because they're next to each other, but sometimes that's where the details lie.
Well, I think it's pretty simple in this. Only, what, 30 people had Caleb Williams as a tier three quarterback, while 34 people had Drake May as a tier three quarterback. And so you look at the 15 people that had Caleb Williams at tier four compared to just 11 people who had Drake May at tier four, and that's literally the difference.
But sometimes it's also the bias. Like one of the quotes in here says, Josh McDaniels does a good job of eliminating negative plays with a quarterback, so I think that will help him. So you just get proximity bias because you're attached to former Belichick coordinators.
Which is kind of weird, because while McDaniels has had good stuff happen, he hasn't been good as, you know, a head coach in another position. So it's
that guy.
Why
you
want to
talk about somebody
much?
who's ranked out of production? Like that guy, his reputational votes are He gets a lot of passes and a lot of credit.
Ultimately, here's what I think of this whole tears article as it relates to Caleb Williams and the Bears. I hope Caleb sees it. I hope Caleb reads it. I hope it puts an extra large Dorito on his shoulder. And then he works and gets things done and gets rid of the ball quickly in Ben Johnson's system. Because I guarantee you this, if he can get rid of the ball quickly and accurately in Ben Johnson's system, a lot of this will go away.
If he does this even halfway through the season, he's a different guy. I do think it's going to take some time to develop. I'm not making excuses for him, but that's how much I think a year can set you back and bring you down. We have more here to come on Rahimi and Harris on The Score. In fact, listen for your chance to win a pair of general admission tickets to see Blink 182, Weird Al Yankovic, Alkaline Trio, Rilo Kiley, The Pogues, and more at Riot Fest on Friday, September 19th. You won't want to miss it. Coming up next, it is halftime. Did you hear the news that made shockwaves throughout the entire world yesterday?
I mean, how could I miss it if I opened up social media in any shape, form, fashion?
It was our jobs combining with another job and our fan bases combining with other fan bases to create media chaos. We'll talk about it next.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
It is indeed halftime. This show has gone some places. The Bears practiced yesterday, so we heard why they wanted to. Sean Payton, the inspiration for Declan Doyle, Ben Johnson, and the team. And probably because, well, a lot of them have coached or worked with Sean Payton at one point in their careers. DJ Moore, could he be used out of the backfield? How? We discussed that at 10:25. We celebrated Ian Happ's birthday with him at 10:45. And then talked about a quote from Carter Hawkins at the trade deadline, which might explain why the Cubs seemingly since then have been what I like to call fair to middling. Quarterback tiers from The Athletic are out. You should check those out. We'll have Mike Sando on later this week.
It's halftime.
I don't know how to describe the amount of media that was posting and reposting and posting about the posting. First, it was Taylor Swift just looks at Travis Kelce and she's in the podcast setting for he and his brother's New Heights podcast. And she's like, that color looks nice on you. And then everybody's freaking out because Taylor Swift is on a podcast. She's on her boyfriend's podcast. And then there had to be some reason that Taylor Swift was on the podcast. And that's when mass chaos broke loose.
So I wanted to show you something.
Okay. What do we got?
We got
a briefcase.
Yep.
Mint green with TS yep. on it.
Yep.
What's in it?
This is my brand new album, The Life of a Showgirl.
TS12!
What, we cut it off mid-scream?
I mean, you get the point.
No, I want to hear the whole screams. I want to hear all of the screams because then it got reposted everywhere times infinity. Also, again, I'm asking myself, where does she find the time? How did she pull this off the last time? The Tortured Poets Department? Wasn't she touring the whole time and that song had like 11 billion or that album had 11 billion songs on it? How does she do this? How?
What I learned that and hit me the hardest going back to the whole when Drake had his run-in with Meek Mill is if you want to get to the studio, you can get to the studio and turn around some content in a hurry. You can find a studio to go turn some content around. So she got to the studio
and went to work. A whole album, though?
It's not like she did it overnight.
Back to back.
You know, do a song here, a song there. And next thing you know, you got, 12 to 16 songs and you're ready to cook.
Will this be the most downloaded podcast episode of all time?
Just podcast? It has to be, right? Based on how much you or me or Marshall or Ray was surrounded by this information.
I'm not downloading it. I'm just going to
But she
let
never
you guys
does
aggregate
an
it.
Appearance. She doesn't do appearances, doesn't do interviews really. And to blend the sports and Taylor Swift world together, that's a lot of people.
My question is,
I go to sports to get away from women.
Well, my question is, what is she writing about if she's not writing about breakups? She's still in a happy and healthy relationship, last I checked.
I mean, that's why this is the showgirl era. Hello. Okay, so I haven't gone to her shows. I don't know a bunch of her songs. Like, I can't tell you what's on the Tortured Poets Department album versus the era's, I don't know, 1989. Name something else, right? Like, that's not really my forte. Midnight. Was that it? Midnight's? I have some knowledge. Yes. I have some knowledge of songs here and there. But like my deficiencies of the music game, like, yeah, I'm familiar with it, but I just don't live it the same way. But that doesn't mean I don't respect the game. I respect the game, number one.
I just know she makes people happy. So, you know what? In times like these, I'm glad there's people out here who make people happy.
She makes some people happy. But keep in mind, she's also a single woman over 30 with a job who doesn't need people. So that makes a lot of people unhappy.
Who's that making unhappy? Who's that making unhappy?
Mm-hmm. What do you know?
Yeah, tell me who's unhappy so I can help them be happier.
Oh, Marshall, we all know there's haters out here in this world that hate everything.
That's about them, though. That's about their inability to find happiness within themselves.
Is Taylor Swift the most
famous? I go to sports to get away from women.
Is Taylor Swift the most famous non-politician in the world right now?
The most famous
Oprah?
I
still think more people know Oprah.
Because if we're going politician, I sadly have to say I think Donald Trump is probably the most famous person in the world. But I think Taylor Swift is definitely up there in terms of most famous person in the world.
Are we saying in the world or in the country?
In the country, I think Taylor Swift
universe?
Might be her.
Have we thought about that?
I think that in the world, it's probably an athlete still. Probably one of the soccer players. Or, shoot, it could be somebody that plays cricket. We're doing sheer
players.
Numbers.
Okay, let's say Michael Jordan and Taylor Swift are walking down the street. Who do you think gets recognized more?
Where's this? What street is this?
I think it's Taylor Swift, unfortunately.
Let's just say just Times Square.
Based on the Titan schedule video, if there's one thing I've learned, it's probably Taylor Swift. Those girls thought that the Cowboys logo was the Colts horseshoe.
That video is one of the greatest of all time, by the way.
I laugh every time.
Yeah.
And the way they edited it.
Yes. I guess Taylor Swift's up there, but there's other people. It's
Beyonce.
Beyonce. Like
Jay-Z.
Ooh, fun fact.
Troy Aikman.
There's a trivia question. Who is the number one most listened to artist on Spotify right now? In terms of monthly listeners.
Right now?
Correct.
Oh, number it's one. What's his name from the Super Bowl?
The Weeknd?
Yes.
He's actually number two.
Oh, somebody passed
number
him?
One. Yes. I was shocked.
Because he's got
this.
The all-time most listened to music on.
But the problem is Spotify, not everybody uses Spotify, but I get it. It's a sample size.
Number one is Bruno Mars.
Okay, I can see that. Puts on an excellent show. I saw him as part of the Silk Sonic show in Vegas and was not disappointed in the least.
The man is talented and he's corporate friendly. Kind of like Imagine Dragons. I figured they'd be up there for that reason.
You know what? Maybe we should check out a
corporate event. I know who we'll hire. Imagine Dragons.
Layla, speaking of Silk Sonic, maybe
I'm editing a promo for a network. I know Imagine Dragons.
What I was going to say is, Layla, speaking of Silk Sonic in Vegas, maybe we should check out a show in Vegas.
Maybe we should.
Because we're going to Vegas.
Do, 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 do.
We're going to Vegas next week. That's the story.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about it. And by pretty, we mean very. We start on Thursday, the 21st. We are broadcasting from 8 to 10:45 a.m. Pacific. From Radio Row in the Galaxy Ballroom. This is all in connection, of course, to the Circa Survivor, the Circa Million, and for those of you big ballers, the Circa Sports Grandissimo Pro Football Contest. Friday, we are live from the pool. We love a stadium swim show. That's from 8 a.m. to 12 Pacific. That means, of course, 10 to 2 here. We've had a lot of really friendly Score listeners come out when we're at Circa and say hi at the pool, and I hope enjoy the pool as much as we have. So if you're out, please do so. That's the day where we're going to be out saying hi to people is at the pool from our cabana location at Stadium Swim. Mitch always gets the same cabana. Did you know that?
It would be the first cabana and the same cabana in all the cabanas to me because I've never been in the cabana. I've never been to Circa Swim, but I'm excited because I've heard so many good things about Circa Swim.
It is a very happy place for me. The contest weekend is open to anyone who has signed up for Circa Survivor or Circa Million. Events include an open bar at Bar Canada on Thursday night, party at Stadium Swim on the day we'll be there on Friday afternoon, a Legacy Club mixer also Friday night, and check out that Circus Sports Grandissimo Pro Football Contest. That is the ultimate high stakes Survivor contest.
That's the one where we need to pull all our money and then pull all our friends' money and then pulls all our family's money just to get in, right?
Somebody asked Taylor Swift if she can front you for the Circa Sports Grandissimo Pro Football Contest. But also, don't miss the Circa Football Preview on Saturday afternoon. That is part of the weekend. That's always really cool, too, because you learn a lot of tactics, a lot of skills, and a lot of good stats to help you out. And room specials and more details can be found on CircaSports.com. I love our Vegas trips. They're always a lot of fun. I will make a pilgrimage to see the Mantis. That will happen.
Sounds like a good time.
Mantis! Mantis! In the words of Ray.
I got friends in Vegas. I wonder if they'll come hang out with us. That's
why not?
That's the ask. But and I'll also look to see what kind of shows are going on while we're there and see if there's something we want to pop into.
Good call.
Sometimes you just got to pop in on them.
You have to. That's the whole point of Vegas. We are looking forward to it. We hope you join us on Friday. We have more to come here on Raheemy and Harris on The Score. Five on It is next. We got football, baseball, and more.